Our sermon text this morning in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 begins at verse 29. I also say this, brothers, the time is short. From now on, let those who have wives live as if they had none. Those who weep, as if not weeping. Those who rejoice, as if not rejoicing. Those who buy, as if not possessing. And those who use the world, as if not getting any use out of it. For the way of life that belongs to this world is passing away. This is the word of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, live like nothing lasts. Can I tell you a little bit about bath time at our house for a 2-year-old? Well, I will. It's an exciting time, a time when that 2-year-old shouts out, "Bubbles!" runs into the bathroom where the water is pouring, looks in excitedly, goes to the closet, grabs a washcloth, comes back to the tub, throws it in, and starts touching some of the toys that are rising as the water fills up. How exciting bath time is. And some of the funnest toys, when we finally get in there, are the kind that hold water, but then sprinkle out. You kind of see the water goes away from him and goes in different places. And that's just really exciting. It's also accompanied by these other rituals. The ritual of not letting the drain drain. So kind of reversing what mom and dad do when we start letting the water out. The ritual of lying down on my tummy so that I can enjoy every last bit of water. And then the rite of mourning when he's taken out of the tub that normally follows. He's a good boy, and he just loves the bath. But I think about this sometimes. How interesting would it be? What a funny take on life. Just imagine if every time you and I used water and we saw it circle the drain, we mourned for it. We lost our heads about it. We could have used that water for so much more, but it had to end. But did it really? I missed that water. How silly that would be if we mourned every last drop of drain water. Because the natural course of things is that water is going to be used and then it's going to go down the drain and continue its way to, I guess, the water sanitizing plant or whatever we have closer to where some of you live here in Indy. And that's just a fact. Yet, how do we treat the things of this life? Sometimes we treat the things of this life as if they should last a lot longer. Even you and I, when we know that this world in its present form is passing away, or in our translation, the present way of life is passing away. We know that, and yet sometimes we hang our hearts on the things of this life. We know it's like nailing Jell-O to a wall, like trying to hold all the sand on the beach in our hands. It just slips through our fingers. Like drain water, things of this life are just not going to last. And so I present today to you, I present just how you can hold on to this slippery life. You can't. I know that's a little trick, but I wanted you to think about it. I wanted you to think, okay, how can I hold on to this slippery world? How can I hold on to this slippery life? You can't. There's no 5-steps, do-it-yourself way to hold on to what's going on around here with anything but the words of God and your soul. That's what's going to last, because your soul is eternal in the sense that it's not going to stop, not even in death. Neither will God's words. So I should have done this. I should have changed the theme to live like nothing lasts. Because that's really what I'm getting at. And we heard it from St. Paul today in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is in the part where Paul begins a new section as he writes to these believers in Corinth, to whom he witnessed too faithfully in Acts chapter 18. You can read all about his background with the Corinthians. They asked him some specific questions in this section, beginning with chapter 7. And one of them was about marriage, how we should live. Should we get married? Shouldn't we? What do you think, Paul? And in this section on 1 Corinthians 7, he's addressing it, and he's talking about really how we ought to live, no matter what we do, marriage included, these things will pass away, and trust the fact that this way of life is going to pass. I love the Greek, because it's the Greek word that looks like our word scheme, and the Greek word that looks like our word cosmos, for world, and then the Greek word that kind of means slipping away or passing by a referent point. So the scheme of the cosmos is passing by a referent point. That's not the greatest translation, though. If you look at the Greek word for scheme, a pretty good translation is what we have here, is the normal way of how we live. And Paul might not have been talking just the ultimate world is passing away, because He refers to the present circumstance early on in the chapter. It's not in our text. There may have been a famine at the time. It may have been talking about some of those dark sixth commandment sins in the previous two chapters of 1 Corinthians. But ultimately, you and I can certainly apply it to our situation. The Corinthians could apply it to the fact that you can't live in this world like it's going to last. Because it's not. Naked I came into this world, as Job says, and naked I will depart. The Lord has given and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And I think this is really easy for us to look around and apply. I'll give you an example. This past week I noticed on social media a picture of a great big cathedral. A couple pictures. And people were lined up outside of the cathedrals. That's kind of exciting. A European cathedral, they don't normally get that kind of attention. Why are people lined up for cathedrals? Let me back up. In Christian literature, you run across this. I know C.F.W. Walther, the founder of the Missouri Synod, writes about this a little bit in his great work, The Proper Distinction Between Law and Gospel. Just that if we found a doctor who could cure us of a really threatening disease so that we could live to the end of a normal lifespan, people would celebrate this. People would flock. People would come to that doctor. If the church was the place where that doctor dispensed medicine, people would come. And the irony of that is, what medicine does the church dispense? It's the medicine for death. It's the medicine of eternal life by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Where are the lines? Well, that's why there are lines at these European cathedrals. It's because they're dispensing the vaccine out of the cathedrals over in Europe. They don't really have a whole lot of other use for these cathedrals now. I know that there are probably worship services that take place, but brothers and sisters, we live in a dying world with the thoughtless thousands who have chosen against the call of Christ by their very sinful nature. And I think what scares me to death sometimes is that you and I, who have that medicine of eternal life, we might look around and get caught up in the trappings of this life as if those things last. Truly consider it, because you and I are still sinners, saints. At the same time, we haven't yet shed our sinful nature enough. And we ultimately won't do that until the Lord takes us to be with our brothers and sister who have gone before us in death this past week. To be with Him to view Him, to see Him where things truly last, to be with Jesus. What does that tell us right now? It tells us to live like nothing lasts. Because you and I have our eternal souls. We have the Word of God that stands forever. And we have the medicine to eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'd like to tell you about one of the first kings who converted to Christianity. According to legend, this was written by John of Damascus in like the 8th century. But it's interesting that he recounts a tale of one of the first Christian kings. King who converted to Christianity. His brother was not yet a Christian. In fact, his brother, the brother of the king, sort of mocked and ridiculed the king a little bit. Sounds like they had a good relationship where a brother could do that without losing his life. Because that's royalty sometimes becomes just killing all your family so you have that throne for as long as you live. But he mocked and jeered at his brother for being so serious and so somber now that he was a Christian and not joining with him. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's what I do, brother. Why don't you do that? Why are you so, to him, seem so sad and somber? Because he did these kinds of things. He owned things without really possessing. He made purchases without really truly feeling like he owned it. What else does Paul say? Rejoicing without really not rejoicing. Weeping without, you know, really weeping like the rest of the world around us. Why don't you do this, brother? And he said, give me a few days and then I'll tell you. In the meantime, the king had his people dig a deep pit and fill it with fire. And then he suspended a chair over that deep pit filled with fire precariously, kind of dangerous suspending of a chair. He put out some sharp pointed weapons surrounding that chair, suspended over the deep pit with fire. And he sent a trumpeter to his brother a few days later with the decree that his brother was to be put to death. So they brought the brother to that chair, surrounded by sharp, pointy objects, over a deep pit filled with fire. And then he had people bring food out to him. The finest, choicest meats and drink, and they played music, and he said, brother, eat, drink, and be merry. And his brother said, how can I eat, drink, and be merry? I'm surrounded by death. Above me, below me, beneath me, around me, I'm surrounded by death. And the king said, but that's what you told me to do. Because I learned from the Word of God that death is certain, and it comes to us all by sin. It's one thing I know for sure. Death is coming. And above me I have the wrath of God, and below me I have the punishment of hell, and around me I have the unbelieving world and my sinful flesh. I can't just eat, drink, and be merry as if tomorrow we die and that's it. There's nothing else. I live like nothing lasts. So then, he freed his brother. He wasn't going to put his brother to death. But he freed him in more ways than one. Because he had a chance to witness the gospel to him. Because that's why we preach the law. It's not just to talk about death today or the world is passing away. It's not all doom and gloom. But because we have a reference point. Remember, the way of life of the cosmos, the world, is passing by a reference point. What is that reference point? We have a God who's eternal. Let me unpack that a little bit. From God's perception, there is no past, present, future. There is no succession of events as we understand His eternity. He has no beginning. He has no end. I was recently corrected, by the way, and I should say this. I said that's what it's going to be like in heaven for all of us, that we're independent of time. I don't know that for sure. Probably not, because we are creatures of time. It's good correction. But this is what it's like for God. He's eternal in such a way that kingdoms rise and fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. He is eternal in such a way that people are like grass, like flowers. He is eternal in such a way that he can institute something like marriage for this life, but in heaven, you know, we are all independent creatures with our bridegroom, the great bridegroom Jesus Christ, who's made us his first love. And that's why this message isn't just doom and gloom. Because I love to hear that a sinful world, an unbelieving world, is passing away. Don't you? I love to think that that's just drain water. That's like trying to nail jello to a wall. That's like sand between our fingertips. Don't you? Because that means we appeal to our eternal God, who sent his only begotten Son for us to die and take away all of our sins, to strip us of the guilt of this life as we look ahead into the future of eternity with our God, with our Jesus, with John, with Carol, and of course with Ron, and with our Lord Jesus Christ and all the saints and angels in eternal glory. The scheme of the cosmos is slipping away. Thank you, Lord. Help me to live like this world doesn't last. Amen.